Welcome to Baba Education Institute. My name is Reverend Herbert Kelly. Today, we will be continuing in the book of Romans in the New Testament, and I'll be using the NIV, the New International Version, just a simplified. I find it to be a good version to teach and preach. But there are several good versions to use. And before I get started, I always like to say why we can trust the Bible. I got this information from Dr. Vodi Bakum, which you can find on YouTube. He's a great preacher, great teacher. And here's what it is: the Bible, a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, 40 authors, 66 volumes of books, a span of 1,500 years, in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, written in three languages, mainly Hebrew and Greek, a little in Aramaic, hundreds of subjects and topics. Okay, and also, I like to give out this information to help in study. I always like to promote Matthew Henry's commentary. They have two types. They have the whole commentary, which is long, and then they have the concise commentary, which is, you know, a lot shorter but gets to the point. So, and if you would, if you can't afford a book or whatever, you can always go online. I use the one online anyways, too, along with the book one. But you can go to www.biblestudiestools.com. Go to menu, go to study tools, go to commentaries, down to Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible, and this is complete. So, if you do that, you can use that. And also, you can just, you can also order online from booksellers. You can buy new or used, and so that'd be a good thing to have. Also, another thing is to know the New Testament church history. You can find that in the book The Complete Works of Flavius Josephus, and he was a Roman Jewish historian and military leader, born in AD 37 to AD 100, and he really describes what the early church went through, and it's really good to know. You know, it helps you just to get a lot of context in that. So I would suggest you do that, and you'll find it as a big help. Okay, so we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, and the title that I'm going to put on it for the whole thing would be Love and Action, and it has three sections. It's pretty short. It's not that long. And the first section I'll be reading is called A Living Sacrifice, and that's at Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. So let's begin, and I'll probably make a lot of comments in between. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let me stop there for a minute. I have been experienced a lot of the churches today. My wife and I we visit a lot of places and stuff, and there's just so many churches that have fallen into what they call woke culture, or they're just not preaching the Bible anymore because they're trying not to offend people. But what people have to realize is that the Bible offends. Jesus offends. God is exclusive, not inclusive. Like for you to follow God, you got to completely surrender to it, and know that once you do, you know that there's going to be a lot of people who don't like you. And in our current climate that we're living in here, and I'm in the United States, Christianity is looked on very negative at this time, and they have people that would love to just kill you, and that's just how it is. So if you come into Christ, you have to be a strong man, a strong woman, that you keep yourself, because God keeps you, but also he's drawing because he knows those that are his. You know, he knows those that are going to serve him, and because he created us, and also the Bible says that that he chose us from the foundation of the world. So even before the world was formed, God already knew, because God is God. God's holy. God is mighty. And like in some in history, they say he's terrible. Not meaning he's terrible, but meaning that he's so holy and so mighty and so powerful. That's what it means. But they're trying to make God as your best buddy and little friend or whatever. No. God is not a divine butler for you to call on when you want something. No, that's wrong. We're here to serve God. That's how that works. And you can choose to serve him or not. You know, that's just how it is. You know, because Jesus said, there was part of a story about a rich young ruler that came to him and said, you know, a good master, I mean, how can I be saved? And he says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And then he says, well, and he named some of the commandments. And he says, do this, this, and that. He said, oh, I've kept them all, you know. And now Jesus knew that there's no way for us to keep it all, because we all fail. But this young guy thought he would. So then he knew, because Jesus was also, he was man, but he was also God. He knew his thoughts, and he knew about him. So and he knew that he was very wealthy, so money had a grip on him. So he said, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he dropped his head, and he looked very sad, and he walked away because he couldn't give it up. You know, so that's Jesus wants all of you, not some of you. You know, and sometimes you get mad, like, you know, we're human, so we have a finite mind. And so we can get, like, mad at some of the things because it's hard to hear. But it's what we need. Okay, let's continue reading. In verse 3, and this section is called Humble Service in the Body of Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with faith God has distributed to each of you. Verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we through many form one body, and each member belongs to all of others, to all the others. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Verse 7, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Verse 8, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So God expects to work, to do. But I mean, we don't work for our salvation, because salvation is free. Nobody can earn it. But once we come to Christ, he expects us to start serving him, which means serving others. You know, and I've seen, like I was talking about before, a lot of these churches, you know, they have a wrong idea of what Christ is and how holy he is. I mean, yeah, just a lot, you know, they give you like a little, like an encouragement message or like a positive message, but they never really give you any scripture, you know, because we're here to learn how to give up the sins that we have in our lives. We all have sins in our lives that we need to give up. And we need to constantly hear the word of God, because it will let you know, hey, I need to give this up, I need to give that up, because it's destroying me and others, you know. So that's why we need to humble ourselves. Okay, let's go to the next section, which is love and Love in action. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 23, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay. Which I think is spectacular. Okay, now I'm just going to read this a little bit in the Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the whole Bible, just little sentences, actually, that have a lot to do with what we're talking about today. Okay, and this is Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary, and this is in chapter 12, and it says here, believers are to dedicate themselves to God, to be humble, and faithfully to use their spiritual gift in their respective stations, exhortations to various duties, and to peaceful conduct towards all men, with forbearance and benevolence. You know, and that means giving charity, which in charity is actually the word love. But we are to love people. I know it's hard. There's a lot of evil people, you know, but there's times when you can show mercy to people that do not show you mercy. Okay, I'm going to read just a little bit more over here. Another few sentences here, and this is Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8, but I'm just going to read a few of the sentences in the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary. Pride is a sin in us by nature. We need to be cautioned and armed against it. All the saints make up one body in Christ, who is the head of the body and the common center of their unity. Okay. Now, another commentary, Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 16. I'm just going to read a few sentences. The professed love of Christians to each other should be sincere, free from deceit and from unmeaning and deceitful compliments, depending on divine grace. They must detest and dread all evil and love and delight in whatever is kind and useful. We must not do that which is good, but we must cleave to it. All our duty towards one another is summed up in one word, love. Wow, that's powerful. Godly love is the best love to have. And that's what I'm saying. I'm going to read this last little bit here. And this is Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 21. I'm just going to read just a few sentences of it. And of the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary. Since men become enemies to God, they have been very ready to be enemies one to another. And those that embrace religion must expect to meet with enemies in a world whose smiles seldom agree with Christ. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That is a brutish recompense befitting only animals which are not conscious of any being above them or of any existence hereafter. And not only do, but study and take care to do that which is amiable and credible, and recommends religion to all with whom you converse. Study the things that make for peace, if it be possible, without offending God and wounding the conscience. Avenge not yourself. This is a hard lesson to corrupt nature. Therefore, a remedy against it is added. Give place unto wrath when a man's passion is up and the stream is strong. Let it pass off. Let it be made to rage and war against us. The line of our duty is clearly marked out, and if our enemies are not melted by persevering kindness, we are not to seek vengeance. They will be consumed by the fiery wrath of that God to whom vengeance belongeth. Amen. So, and this is what we have in the world today. Even in America, we've lost our way in America as far as the majority of Christian churches. Not all churches, they're still good ones, but they're hard to find. You know, because a lot of them caved in. I've been watching, like, churches, they even changed their sign. They're getting away from what they used to be, which was, you know, serving God or whatever. And then they're changing their signs and changing their name to kind of water it down to get people to come in. And they're allowing all kind of stuff to happen, you know. And we can't do that. You know, we have to go by what the Word of God says. And we have to live by it. And whatever happens, happens. So we need to stand for Christ. And for those that don't know Christ, that you're listening to this message today, let me go over why we all need Christ. So this is for you to judge yourself. Have you ever lied to anybody? Well, of course, what do you call someone who lies? You call them a liar. We all have lied. Everybody's lied. And if they say they don't lie, they're lying. Because we all lie, you know. We start out as a child lying, you know, to cover things up or something. If we do something wrong, we try to lie out of it. You know, come on. Have you ever looked at another person with lust? According to Jesus, you already committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever hated anyone? According to Jesus, you've already murdered in your heart. That's three of the commandments. See, and you only have to break one to be guilty of all. So we're all guilty. You know, when you look at God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, it shows our guilt. So what did Jesus do for guilty sinners? Well, first, let's find out. If God was to judge you by his Ten Commandments, would we be innocent or guilty? We're guilty. Heaven or hell, it would be hell. That's why we must come to Christ with a sorrowful, contrite heart, knowing that we're guilty, and asking for forgiveness, and then transfer the trust in yourself to Christ alone. It's kind of like if you're in a plane about to crash, somebody gives you a parachute, you got to hold on to that parachute for dear life, because it's going to save you from the judgment to come. Jesus saves you from the judgment to come. And therefore, that's why we need Christ. You know? So let me give you a little scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 through 9. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. And I'm going to read you some salvation scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, King James Version, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, King James Version, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And see, and that's why we need Christ. And I would suggest that you humble yourself and come with a sorrowful, contrite heart and ask God for forgiveness for your sins, and put your trust in Christ alone. And then get a Bible, start reading the Bible. I would suggest you start in the New Testament if you're not familiar with it, and read the book of John first. That's the last of the four Gospels. They call it Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start with John. It gives you all the basics. Then start from Matthew and go down, and then start reading the rest of the New Testament, and slowly get into the Old Testament, because there's a lot to it. But if you can master the New Testament, then the Old Testament will be a great help. And the whole Bible is fantastic. I'm just trying to give you some ground, some basics first, if you're not used to the Bible. Let me give you some resources. Here's great teachers and preachers. Dr. Vodi Bakum, you can find him on YouTube, or you can go online and put in Vodi Bakum Ministries, and it'll pull up. Living Waters with Ray Comfort, livingwaters.com. Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, answersingenesis.org. Wall Builders with David Barton, wallbuilders.com. And he teaches a lot about American Christian history. And it's very fascinating. Dr. Walter Martin, waltermartin.org. Apologia Studios with Pastor Jeff Durbin, apologiastudios.com. You can also listen on the Apple Podcast, Apologia Studios. And you can listen to the audio version. And a really great professor, a Bible professor, died a while back, and his family took all the audio recordings and donated to Apologia Studios, and they've remastered everything. And you can literally go on to ApologiaStudios.com, look in the menu, and see Greg Bonson or Bonson U, and click on it, and you can get a free seminary education, and that's a fact, because I listen to it sometimes too. If you'd like to correspond with us, it's Bible Education Institute, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And we just have a cheap website, but I have it linked, so it'll be a little easier to click on at the in the information section below the video or audio. But it is 5 lowercase d, lowercase b, lowercase e, 1182, lowercase e, 5831 dot. Site lowercase s, lowercase I, lowercase t, lowercase e, 123 dot me, that's lowercase m e, and you can find the website there like that, or you just click on it. I'll click on the link, and also you can also find us at YouTube and Rumble. And also you can find us on Listen Notes, and this is the audio podcast. Listen Notes, Luminary Podcast, Player FM, HeliumRadio.com, Helium Radio Network, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Amazon Music, Overcast, Chrome, G-Potter, Firefox, Safari, iTunes, Audible, Alexa, Google, Podbean, Internet Explorer, Podcast Addict, and others. And here's some more good teachers and preachers. Doug Wilson, Gary DeMar, Pastor Joe Webb with Right Response Ministries, and the other ones again, and Dr. R.C. Sproul with Ligonier Ministries, LIGONIER.org Ministries. Or just that. Dr. Vodi Bakum, Dr. James White. You can find him on YouTube and Apologia Studios. And of course, Pastor Jeff Durbin. And all the rest of them. And let me give you a little bit more resources. For books, I buy new and used books. I try to buy as many used as I can to save money. And you can go to Abe Books, ABEBOOKS. Thrift Books, Amazon, Alibris, ALIBRIS. So there's many more out there, but you can just put on your search engine the book you're looking for, and it'll pop up the sellers, and then you can just go on there and figure it out. And another good place, there's one good Christian show that teaches a lot. And that is Facing History with William Federer. You can find him on TCT Network. Just put that in your search engine, TCT Network, pop up. When you see that, go to on-demand programs and then scroll till you find Faith in History of William Federer. He does a Christian history of, you know, American and worldwide and everything. It's very fascinating. And on there, there was one that I was learning a little bit about the Old Testament from the Jewish perspective. And that was Rabbi Daniel Lapin. But he's not there any longer. But you can find him on rabbidaniellapin.com. And his wife, Susan Lapin, helps out sometimes. And you can find him on YouTube. It's called Ancient Jewish Wisdom. You just put in Rabbi Daniel Lapin, he'll pull up, you know, most of his stuff. Or you can just go to the website there, rabbidaniellapin.com. And his wife, Susan, has a blog there called Susan's Musing. It's very interesting, but remember, they're Jewish, so it comes from a Jewish perspective, you know, and you can learn a lot from that part of it. Okay, so till next time, remember, read your Bible daily without fail and do what it says.